special time this morning. God gets all the glory. We have Jody and Brad Boldry with us this morning, and they're going to give their testimony just here shortly. But I want to just share a couple of scriptures with you. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to John chapter 14. This is not on a lot of church calendars this Sunday. It's kind of passed over. Pentecost Sunday is not really too much attention drawn to it, but how many know Pentecost Sunday was the birth of the church? And matter of fact, nothing happened until Pentecost Sunday. 10 days after the ascension of Christ, they were hanging out. Nobody told them it was going to happen. Just said, tarry until you're endued with power. And so it was on Pentecost weekend, Pentecost Sunday, they were all together. The Bible says they were in one accord. That's not a car. They were one accord, one place, and suddenly God visited them. But you know, it wasn't so sudden, because God told them, Jesus told them here in John 14, in verse 15, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16 says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Hallelujah. Now I want you to know something. The Holy Spirit was always with the disciples. Jesus heretofore had breathed upon him and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit went with them. How many know they did signs, wonders, and miracles? They healed the sick. They raised the dead. Cleansed the lepers. But the Holy Spirit had, up until this point on the day of Pentecost, just been with them, not dwell in them. So when the day of Pentecost fully came, the Holy Ghost filled everyone in the room. First he filled the room, then he filled everyone in the room. Come on, somebody. And so then turn to John 16, John chapter 16. John 16, verse 5. It says, but now I go away to him who sent me. None of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father, and you see me no more, and of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Come on, someone. Am I talking to the right people this morning? The ruler of this world is judged and found wanting. And as Apostle Sheets said this weekend, two-thirds is always better than a third. And so not even the demons get the glory for anything. But the Holy Spirit came and filled the disciples on Pentecost Sunday. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. Everybody thought these guys are drunk. They must have had a party all night. And Peter stood up and said, these guys aren't drunk. This is what the prophet Joel spoke of. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. And so we're praying this morning. We've been praying. Some have been praying for a couple of weeks now that this morning the presence of God would come in here on the backs of this testimony and fill this room and then fill each one here. And we're asking God for miracles. Some came for miracles. Someone came this morning blind, and I believe they're going to leave here seeing. Come on, somebody. Can I hear an amen in the house? And why I know that's going to happen is the Holy Spirit is in each one of us. Amen? He's powerful. Turn to somebody and say, He's powerful. Several years ago, Jody Bouldery got the worst news anybody could get, and they told her she was going to die, and that didn't happen because she's still sitting here. And so I'm going to ask Jody and Brad to come, and let's give them a new life welcome this morning.
All the glory goes to Jesus, because I didn't do a thing with Doc. Okay, we'll get into it. This little book was the beginning of my testimony. The prayer of Jabez, it was very, very powerful in my life at a time when I needed it. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." Usually when this same subject comes up more than once, it's a sign from God. And this subject came up at a Mary Kay meeting that the same week. And then Sunday at church, our pastor brought it up. And I was like, "Oh, you're trying to get my attention." Okay, I guess I'll listen. We were presented with the challenge. My leg won't quit shaking. There it goes. Praying this prayer every day for a month. And I was faithful and prayed it every day for a month, and expecting great things. The great things I expected were not the great things that He had in store for me. That was January 2001. That past summer, I had noticed that I couldn't keep my sandal on my right foot. I twisted my ankle in the yard, and I figured that was what was going on. But it persisted, and I was stubborn. And I didn't want to go to the doctor. So it almost caused me to fall down the basement stairs. So... So I went to a podiatrist, and he ran a series of tests, and nothing showed up. So he sent me to a neurologist, and he did more tests, and ending with a brain scan of a tumor. I had a tumor the size of a goose egg, and I was like, he called me over the phone, and he didn't speak English very well, and he said, "Mrs. Bouldery," I can't even do his accent, he was an Indian guy, he goes, "Mrs. Boulder, you have a large brain tumor." And I was like, "Okay." And so when I woke up that morning, it was the same as any other day. But when I look back, it was the day that God started to work in and through me that I will never be able to see the full extent of until He brings me home to heaven. I won't lie to you. I was scared. And I cried. took me a while to come to the point that I knew, thank you, that whatever happened, I was in God's hands. And
it was a long time before Grant would not run and get the phone because he didn't want somebody to call and make Mom cry.
So the first thing I did after calming myself down was I called my husband Brad, and we got a hold of our parents, and we started calling every prayer warrior we knew. Randy and Kay were one of those. My friends and my family, and most of all Jesus, surrounded us and lifted us up in prayer. And that was my first experience of the peace that surpasses all understanding. Something I've come to know very well.
To this day, I still run into people, and they hear the last name, or the conversation of cancer comes up, and they go, you know, we prayed for a young lady years ago. To this day. I mean, and this has been in towns and different states, and it, I mean, there was a lot of emailing, and a lot of people were praying.
I know of people in Jamaica and Bermuda that were praying because we had friends that everybody just called everybody they knew. So all glory goes to Jesus. The next step was to figure out where to go from there. We met with a neurosurgeon on February 13th, and surgery was scheduled for February 22nd. So they knew how serious it was. We were kind of in the dark, but sometimes that's good. let's see. That's our family. The boys were 2 and 3. they didn't know what was going on, but so we said goodbye to our sons on the 21st, and they stayed with Brad's parents. Thank God for family. And left to spend the night near the hospital the next morning for surgery. I remember laying in the MRI machine that morning, saying, waiting for, the technician to be like, oh, it's gone. But that never came. So, I prayed, God, I'm in your hands. Your will be done. I don't understand why this is happening, but I trust you. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I kept just replaying that verse in my head. From there, I was taken to surgery to see my family, or I was taken to see my family one last time before surgery. We prayed, of course, and the surgery nurse took me to the operating room. The operating room wasn't ready, so she left me on the gurney out in the hallway. I'm like, that was the first time I had been alone since I got that phone call. And feelings of fear and loneliness swept over me. But then all of a sudden, like a mighty rushing wind, the Lord came and took those feelings away. his peace filled me. And then the nurse came out and she took me into the surgery room. And we joked around about something silly. I don't remember what it was. And that's all I remember until I was out of recovery room in the ICU. You want to tell the...
Well, the part where she was lonely, I didn't know that until I read the book. And that is the one thing that really bothered me. Because I couldn't be there. And I didn't know. But as we fast forward here, this thing was the size of a goose egg. And when she's out of surgery and the doctor comes in, he could only get 40% by surgery, because the rest of it was entwined into the motor strip that runs one side of her body, which is why she couldn't keep her sandal on earlier on, because she couldn't control. Kind of like foot drop. Anybody that knows anybody that's had a stroke and they can't work that foot, that's where this was at.
Then came a whole new set of challenges. The doctor had warned me that I would be paralyzed, kind of like a stroke, on my right side for a while, but they didn't know how long. The doctors and nurses were surprised that I could smile in the recovery room. I couldn't communicate for a while, but I knew the words I wanted to say. And I remember my mouth was really dry, kind of like it is right now. And the nurse dipped a green sponge in mouthwash and put it on my tongue, because I couldn't drink anything yet because I was still coming out of anesthesia. And then later, when everybody was in the room, I wanted that again. And all I could say was green and point. I'm like, like Garrett.
Yeah.
When he was learning to talk. He could only grunt and point. But it came back, and now you can't shut me up. It was very frustrating, but the more I practiced, the easier it was. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be burdened beyond what you are able to bear. I was in ICU 2 days and then moved to critical care unit for 5 days. I thought my progress was slow, but the doctors and therapists were pleased. Because I'm always, I want things to happen right now.
A little competitive.
That comes up later. The doctor wanted me to spend some time in a rehab hospital, I think a week. Before releasing me, but my family and I decided that we didn't want to do that. It wasn't feasible, however, for me to go home because our bedroom is on the second floor. So, and I would have to, the boys were 2 and 3. And Brad had farms, so he couldn't be there. So my wonderful parents, turned their living room into my own personal bed and breakfast, complete with a fireplace, a big screen TV, and seating for guests. let's see. Let's go. There's my head after surgery. My homecoming was bittersweet. In addition to dealing with my own physical limitations, my youngest son, Garrett, he wouldn't come to me because he didn't recognize me with no hair and staples in my head. And Grant asked me why there was a zipper in my head. My nephew, Matthew, said he didn't want to go to the hospital because they would shave his hair. My first goal was to walk into the church with a walker. I came home on a Thursday, and by Sunday, I could walk with a walker. My second goal was to walk without assistance, because my sister Lindy had asked me to be her matron of honor. And that was in June. I did achieve that goal with much help from my physical therapist and Father God. We didn't know what kind of cancer we were dealing with until March 2001. The report came back, anaplastic astrocytoma grade 3. There's only 4 grades. So I was like, okay.
That meant as much to us as it does to you right now.
Yeah.
We didn't know. I mean.
We were told by the director of oncology from an area hospital that this was a very rare form of cancer that she had never seen. And everything she knew about it, it was not curable or survivable. That's the kind of things we were hearing from doctors. So, we had to put our faith in God. That's a good place to put it. I don't remember all the details about being in the hospital, but a few key things do stand out. For example, we all tried to keep the mood light and laugh as much as possible. The nurses and doctors probably thought we were crazy, but hey,
she's at ICU and she is in her her private room, and she hasn't been up yet, but she's of course doing everything left-handed, which I challenge any of you to do anything with your other hand and see how that goes. So she's brushing her teeth for the first time, left-handed, and it's quite comical to watch. And so she gets done, she's so proud, and she hands me that toothbrush, and she wants to know if I will go rinse it out for her. So, of course, and so I'm on the way to the restroom, and I got to tell you about these restrooms. They have the most water pressure you've ever seen. And when you flush the toilet, it sounds like a passenger airliner taking off. I mean, these things. So I walk in there, and I got that toothbrush. And I look things over for a second, and I walk over, and I flush that toilet, and then I rinse the brush out, and I come back out holding that toothbrush, and I'm just smiling. And her folks are in there, and everybody just starts hysterically laughing. Nurses are stepping in, trying to figure out what's going on, because we're in there being a bunch of kooks. But that's the type of thing that we tried to keep everyone smiling and laughing and keep your minds off of the unknown.
A merry heart does good like a medicine. That David, King David knew that. King Solomon knew that. It's in Proverbs. They knew it. I don't know why we don't listen. I come from a very competitive family. So when I started getting movement in my hand, arm, the therapist told me to do everything with my right hand. It was hard. And I tried to cheat when they weren't looking. But Dad caught me one time, and he tied my left arm to the bed. with my robe thing, so it wasn't like, yeah. Do the next part?
It's really, you know, the family, we stood on the spiritual truth. And a wise man, which would be Tim, once told us, you know, truth is not what I think it is or you think it is. It's what God says it is. Yeah. And we stood on it. It wasn't what the doctor said. It wasn't what the nurses said or all the oncologists. It was what God had to say, and he had the final word. And that's what we stood on.
When I was in the hospital, And when I got home, I listened to a tape by Pastor John Hagee talking about, he was reading the healing scriptures, every healing scripture from the Bible. And that built my faith.
That is very good, even if you're not sick.
It's on YouTube.
It might be.
It's on YouTube now.
I still like to listen to it. I turn it on before I go to bed. It is glorious.
And we also listen to a lot of worship music. It is very important what we allow our minds to focus on. My dad heard a sermon by T.D. Jakes, and his message was, "What you focus on will become your God." If I had allowed cancer to be my focus, it would have become my God. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What we think goes into our heart, and it comes out our mouth. So why not fill it with the Word of God? March 9th, 2001, I started radiation at St. Joseph's Hospital in Kokomo. 8 weeks, 5 days a week, I laid there with my head in a mask that was bolted to the table while radiation was focused on the site of the remaining tumor. While going through radiation, I was on steroids to prevent swelling in my brain. Unfortunately, it caused everything else to swell, and I gained 40 pounds. Mom was the one who drove me to Kokomo for my treatments, and she always had the same worship CD playing. And I don't remember who it was, but I remember the effect that it had on us. It was very calming and soothing. And we just would, like, soak in it. I can say from experience that Satan will come against your mind. For those of you who don't realize it, those little nasty thoughts that are, oh, I don't know. Those negative thoughts are that seem to pop into your head are from Satan. He would hit me with things like, "It's all your fault this is happening." Or, "Look how much you are causing everyone around you to suffer." And I would lie in bed, not able to sleep, crying and telling Brad how sorry I was. Then I realized what was going on. It was Satan. This is God's phone number. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Our parents are very special people. Mom stayed in the hospital room with me and my dad stayed in the hotel with Brad. Brad's parents kept the boys, which I think my parents had the easier job because they were 2 and 3. My parents wanted to go to a Benny Hinn crusade in Little Rock, Arkansas. And I knew that God worked through him and healed people through him. And I really didn't want to go without Brad. But with a little persuasion from Mom, I decided to go, even if he wouldn't. Mom and I started to pray, and I think Dad was in on it too, that Brad would go with us. The funny thing about God is he is never early, and he is never late, but he is always right on time. So Brad finally made the decision to go with us the morning we planned to leave, and that was March 30th. Dad rented a Jeep, and we drove straight through to Little Rock. We arrived in time for the morning service. God was definitely in charge because it was already pretty full, and by the time we got there, and an usher saw us and led us to wonderful seats on the floor. It was in a
big, like this, and then all around was stadium seating. And they brought us right down, right up in, not front, but not any further than the back of here. And we just showed up, and she met us outside, and we talked, and in we went. God's hand.
Yes. God was in charge of this whole thing. The praise and worship was awesome. I could definitely feel, just like this morning, the presence of the Holy Spirit. But I kept thinking, you know, let's get through this praise and worship. I want to get healed. But God let me in on a little secret. Praise and worship is the key to unlock the door of heaven. The message was powerful and anointed. After the sermon, Pastor Benny Hinn told everyone in the audience who needed a touch from the Lord to place their hands on their body where they needed a healing. So I had a bald head still, and I was wearing a hat, so I took off my hat, and I placed my hands on my head. And while he was praying, I began to feel the sensation of warm oil being poured over my head, like running down, and my ears started getting hot. So I don't know if it was Brad or Mom, but I poked somebody. I said, "Hey, I feel this oil being poured over my head, and my ears are hot. What's going on?" And they looked at my ears, and they were red, and Mom felt them, and they were hot. During this time, God was revealing to Benny Hinn the things that were being healed in the audience. And he would speak them out as he heard them. He said beforehand that when you feel something, to take a step of faith and come to the front. I was still a little clumsy, so Brad helped me walk up to the front. Well, we didn't make it to the front because there were so many people getting healed. One of the things that was being revealed to him was there was a young lady in the audience being healed of a brain tumor. And I was like, that's me. There were people there working with the Benny Hinn Ministries, praying with the people that had been healed or felt a touch. And the Lord, He is so awesome. He brought us a woman that had been healed of a brain tumor at a Benny Hinn crusade 2 years earlier. He knows what's going on. He makes divine appointments for us. We left there knowing that God had done something, but not knowing to what extent. I completed radiation on April 26, 2001, and had my first MRI scan since the Benny Hinn Crusade on May 10th. Anaplastic astrocytoma. Status post-resection with residual disease. Jody Boldry has completed a course of radiation. She has had an MRI scan, which revealed an abnormality at the site where the original tumor was known to be left behind. The area has become somewhat different in appearance than it did previously. Ha ha. Take that. But that's not the good one. None of my doctors could explain this. Nobody had seen anything like it. My scans were sent to UCFS. Yes, S. Yeah. Some college where they're supposed to know stuff. In California. And they didn't know what was going on. As far as I know. Hey, I'm simple. I like to keep it. They didn't, as far as I know, they can't explain it to this day. I started chemotherapy on May 29th. It was supposed to last for a year. I later learned that people with this kind of cancer don't live to finish chemotherapy. This is the cool one. My next MRI scan. In the previous study, the enhancing tumor was seen in the parasagittal location posteriorly on the left. In today's study, this area is markedly improved. Well, here's the good part. The guy thought I had surgery. I didn't have surgery. Except for the hand of Almighty God, Jehovah Rapha, my healer. This is my other doctor. This was my radiation oncologist. She underwent an MRI scan on July 5th, which revealed a resolution of an abnormality in the left parasagittal location. This is the good one. No evidence of disease. God had healed me. I didn't have to finish chemotherapy. My doctors discontinued it because all the test results came back clear.
Our radiation doctor, he to this day will tell you he didn't do a thing. He said, that wasn't me.
A dear Christian friend sent me a card with this verse in it. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That scripture described what we did. We made our request known to God. Hey, God, this is what I need. And he did guard my heart and my mind. And he did give me peace that surpassed all understanding. This is one of the main scriptures that I stood on through what seemed at times to be an insurmountable challenge. But praise the Lord, nothing is impossible with him. We were all very careful to not to say things like, I have cancer, or I'm going to die. What we did say is the doctors say that I have cancer, or the doctors say that I have around 2 years to live. The power of life and death is in the tongue. The point to this was the words we speak have more meaning than we may know. Unfortunately, this is not something that is widely taught. I'm sure it is here. But it is truth because it's in God's word. You see, all that was happening, God was answering that prayer that I prayed not working. The prayer of Jabez. Oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, and that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. God did bless me by strengthening my relationship with him. Plus, he gave me this testimony to encourage others. He definitely enlarged my territory. Since this experience began, God has opened doors for me to share my testimony in different churches and even in different states. His hand has been with me and carried me at times, like the poem Footprints in the Sand. And last but definitely not least, he gives me his Holy Spirit to live in me and be my guide through all of life's ups and downs. Let's see if I can get this thing to go. It's not going. Oh, there it goes. Who am I to question God's means of obtaining the end result? I mean, he asked Job, were you there when I placed the foundations of the earth? Only God can see the big picture of each and every one of our lives. He knows what it will take to bring us to the place where he desires us to be in relationship to himself. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that God caused this to happen, but he did use it to bring me to the place I am now. I still have a long ways to go, but I know Jesus will be with me every single step of the way. All I have to do is ask. It is truly my heart's desire to live out the destiny God has for me. I don't know where it will take me, but I do know it will be awesome. I know that God won't give me anything I can't handle, with his help, of course. I would like to thank Pastor Rick for having me here. And encourage you that whatever battle you are going through, God is in control. Our responsibility is to give it to him and trust in his timing. He is never early, he is never late, but he is always right on time. He sees the big picture of what's going to happen. And that's it. And that's the book I wrote. So, thank you all for having me here and listening to me. And may God bless you. And
thank you.
There are books back on the table. Be anxious for nothing. They're available on the way out. Make sure and pick one up. But I was going to go another direction this morning, and the Holy Spirit ceased me, and so we're not going to do that. What we're going to do, though, is if the worship team could come, we're going to pray, and God's going to heal and touch people this morning. I was going to bring a little message on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost this morning, make sure and ask us when you come up. But what I'm going to do is have Brad and Jody come, and also Steve Ulrey, if you could come as well with Joanne. I'll get somebody else to run that up there, and Terry and I. And we want to get our hands laid on you and believe for healing in your body. Amen. The power to heal is here. Amen. And the Boldrys have walked through some things, and so I don't think there's any feeling or anything that you might have doubts or anything like that that they have not experienced. And how many know God is a miracle-working God? Come on, somebody. God is a miracle-working God. We have proof positive here. I know there's some other people here in our congregation that shouldn't be here today because God has spared your life. And so we just want to pray. And as we worship and as you feel led, you just come right up and be patient because we want to get to everybody. Amen? If you got to go, I understand. It's only 11:15. It's early. And let's just pray together and believe the power of God. Now, like I said, somebody here is blind today. They're going to go home seeing. The Lord told me that before they got up to speak this morning. So that's a tremendous thing. Power of God, amen? Yeah. So, Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We thank you, Father, for Jody and Brad. We thank you for their lives, God, and the ministry that you're giving them, Lord. The ministry that today is a springboard into what you have. And Jody, you said the Lord, you didn't know where the Lord was leading you. And would you stretch out your hands to these two? In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for these. Lord, I thank you for the wonderful testimony that is theirs, oh God. Lord, it was not won easily, but in the crucible, God. In the crucible, God. And I believe the Lord would say to you, Jody, that God is opening a door even today for you, and that the ministry, the gift of healing that He's given you, will personify who He is in you today. And that the Lord wants you to know He's opening doors for you. A great effectual door has opened for you for ministry. And God says that He would have you to see many signs, wonders, and miracles take place in your own life as you step out in faith. You will get invitations. Don't turn invitations down. But every invitation, no matter how small it would seem, God wants to use you because He's pouring out His Spirit of healing upon this generation. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord. Come, Jody and Brad and the elders, please come.